All right, good evening, folks. If you have your Bible, if you could turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. All right, I want you to just hold up your Bible. Hold up your Bible. This is what they do in some churches. I think Joel Osteen does it. And then you hold it up and you say, "This is the Word of God. I will keep an open heart and I will." Right, they'd say like seven different things, but we're just going to say one, all right? May the Word of the Lord speak to me tonight. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Read that together. Count of three. One, two, three. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be faithful with the small things. You need to be faithful with the small things. All right. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. That's my message for you guys tonight. Be faithful with the small things, because that's how the kingdom of God works. It doesn't work any other way. If you can't be faithful with the small things, you won't be faithful with the big things. If you can't tithe and faithfully use your $25,000 a year salary, you're not all of a sudden going to be faithful if you had $250,000 a year. If you can't be faithful and manage the few free hours you have in a week and set that time aside to pray and meditate on God's word, you will not be all of a sudden faithful if you had tripled free time on your hands. If you can't stick it through and minister to a congregation of 40 people, you will not all of a sudden be faithful if you have 4,000 in your congregation. If you can't be faithful with the small things, you will not be faithful with the big things. Jesus said in this passage, whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You know, there's people like that, you know? They say, if I had $1 million, man, I would not be cheating on my taxes. You know, if I had $100 million, man, I'd give all this stuff to charity. I'd give a whole lot of money to charity. They say that. But what's the truth? If they really did have that money, what would they really do with it? When they can't be faithful with the $20,000, $30,000 a year they make, when they can't pay tithes and taxes properly on that $20,000, $30,000 a year, what makes them think that they'd do it if they had $10, $20, $30 million a year? If God sees you being unfaithful serving in a small church, God knows you will be unfaithful if you were to serve in a bigger church. Thus, God simply won't do it. He just doesn't do it. If you want to be entrusted with the big things of God and be used by God in powerful ways, then brothers and sisters, you need to take one thing to heart right now. You need to be faithful with the small things. Tell your neighbor that once more. You need to be faithful with the small things. Turn them. Tell them that. Now, you know, being faithful with the small things ain't easy. You know, being faithful with the small things requires taking the heart of a servant. you will need to be humble and do the tasks that nobody else wants to do. But if you will be faithful with the little, God will be faithful to entrust you with much more. Brothers and sisters, faithfulness is a character trait. All right? If you look in Galatians chapter 5, you'd be surprised to find that faithfulness is listed under the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It's a character trait, and it grows and it develops over time. Faithfulness is a lot like faith. That's why the word faith is in there, right? And when we talk about faith, what do we talk about? Faith is like a muscle. You got to stretch it. You got to work it out. You got to use it for in order for it to grow and get bigger, right? Faith is a muscle. Well, in a very similar way, faithfulness is also much like faith. It grows and it develops over time. And faithfulness is a character trait that is highly praised by God. It's what makes God happy. You know, our skills and our talents, they don't really impress God much. Ever think about that? I mean, He gave it to us anyway. I mean, you might even be thinking, you know, I don't even have that many talents or skills. Well, maybe you don't have talents or skills, but you can always be faithful. Jesus indicated that at the time of judgment, it will be a person's faithfulness that will be praised. I want you guys to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 29. We're going to look at the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 29. All right, let's go ahead and read that together. I'll take a verse, and you guys go ahead and respond with the next verse. Starting from verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, his master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more.
The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents.
For everyone who has, he will give it more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him.
All right, and verse 20, that's fine. You know, when I read this parable growing up, honestly, I always felt bad for the last dude. Come on. You never felt a little compassion for him? I mean, come on, he only got 1 talent while the other guys get 2 and 5. Isn't it natural to be a little bitter, you know? You know, what's going on? How come I only got one? I felt bad for this guy until I realized two things. One is verse 15. The master didn't randomly give out whatever he felt like giving. The verse says that he entrusted them with money, each according to his ability. One talent is worth about $1,000. Okay? So that third servant only got what the master thought he could handle. And there's nothing really unfair about that. And number two, the problem didn't lie with the amount of talents this guy received. What really mattered was the attitude of his heart. That's where the problem lied. And if he wasn't faithful with one talent, he wouldn't have been faithful if he was given five. He was simply being unfaithful. And there's many people in the church today that fit the picture of this third servant. Since they're entrusted with small things, i.e., for example, taking out the garbage, setting up the sound system, making copies, taking meeting notes. Since they're entrusted with small things, instead of being faithful, they complain about how small the assignment is. They feel like their part won't make a big difference, or they feel too prideful to do the small chores, and they just simply don't do them. Or they do them for a few weeks, and then they flake out. There are many people in the church today who fit the picture of this third servant. There are some people who think that unless they're doing big things for God, then they aren't doing anything at all for God. If I'm not doing something big and grand and making a difference and bringing people to the lost and bringing them in the church, if I'm not doing something big, then I'm not doing, I must not, then I'm not doing anything at all for God. If it's not going to be big, I'm not going to do anything at all. If God's not going to use me in big ways, then forget about it. Thus, people who have this attitude, they want to skip all the small assignments, all the little bitty small responsibilities, and they want to take a shortcut to powerful ministry. The sad thing is, this is a straight up lie from Satan. People who fall into this lie are the ones that are deceived by bewitching spirits. An audible voice may even lie to them, saying, "I love you, my child. This is the voice of the Father. I have called you to do great and mighty things. You are very important. You will be used mightily, so just obey my lead. Look, you're too important to be mopping the floor. Leave that to other people. You just follow me." Cults and antichrists are born when such bewitching spirits are trusted. And when this lie is not confronted. Brothers and sisters, God rarely speaks through an audible voice. I'm not saying he doesn't. But when he does, it's rare. It's often for special occasions, or it's reserved for those who have proven faithfulness. Guys like Moses. And I've had people come up to me and tell me that God spoke audibly to them about this and that. But the things that they say to me, they often don't sit right with my spirit. And so what do? I immediately look at their faithfulness. And if they have no proven faithfulness, I don't even give a second thought to what they just said. God brothers and sisters, may not speak audibly to your leaders. He may not speak audibly to your pastors. But I tell you that they possess a greater ability to hear from God. Why? Because your pastors, your leaders, have proven faithfulness. That's why. You know, when I relate to God and I ask God to lead me, when I ask Him for help, I don't ask Him to speak audibly to me. I could. I just don't. I don't feel the need to. I just stay close to Him in fellowship. That's what I do. Because when you're in close fellowship with God and you're led by the Spirit, your oneness with God will be so tight that you will find yourself naturally walking in the very leadings of God without ever depending on an audible voice. And if you follow the true voice of the Spirit, He will always start with the small things. The bewitching spirits will come to you when you have no proven faithfulness, and they'll say, God's going to use you mightily. Just follow my voice. Follow this. Follow. That's a bewitching spirit. Well, if you were to hear the true voice of God, it'd always be, take out the trash. Do the dishes for your roommates. That's right. Listen up. Do the small things. Be a servant. Be faithful with the small things. Don't talk about leading a prayer meeting full of 5,000 people when you can't even be faithful in your prayer closet. The true voice of God will always point you toward the small things. Because that's where He starts. You know, you may even have the fire of God. Some people have the fire of God. And you know, the fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it comes suddenly. It just comes suddenly on people. And it has nothing to do with faithfulness. I mean, you could be like just a backsliding, you know, whatever. You just walk into a meeting and God just, for whatever reason, chooses you. And you get baptized with the fire. Boom, you go down and you're shaking and you're manifesting. Well, you know, welcome to the Lordship of Christ. You know, you might not have much say in it, but, you know, you might get that fire because it may not have doing anything with faithfulness. The fire can come. The anointing and the gifts can be released. But there will be no release into an effective ministry without faithfulness in the small things. The fire does not automatically equate to big assignments. I receive the fire. It's time for me to go to Africa. I got the fire of the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized. God told me I got all these gifts. I need to go. Pastor, send me. I need to go. The church, y'all need to give an offering right now. $25,000 offering. Put it in the plate. I need to go. The fire does not equate to big assignments. I'm sorry. If you're at an immaturity in your faith, when you get the fire, you know what it's going to look like? You'll just be manifesting while you're taking out the trash. You won't be able to do dishes right because you're shaking or whatever manifestations you get. That's what it'll look like. He'll point you to the small things. Get it! He'll point you to the small things because that's the way God works. God assigns tasks and responsibilities, each according to your ability. And before He can entrust you with big things, you got to prove faithful with the small things. And let me say one thing about gifts and talents and skills. You know, some of you guys are very talented. You have intellect. You have a good education. You have skills. You're good with your hands. You're good in certain things, music, computers, whatever it is. You got a lot of talents. But skills and gifts and talents do not equate to ability. I'll tell you what equates to ability. Faithfulness equates to ability. Because you know what? There's nothing sadder than entrusting somebody with a lot of gifts and talents, but they're not faithful. There's nothing more sadder than that. We need to prove faithful in the small things. And we need to stop envying each other. And that's a strategy of the enemy, to bring division and bitterness. We envy each other. Man, God, how come you guys do all that I don't? Man, I'm not doing this. Forget this. I'm not doing this. Man, I'm tired of cleaning up after all the Sunday snacks, people leaving strawberry ends all over the place, not picking up these dirty people. How come over there, you know, David gets to do all that stuff? How come Janet gets to do all that stuff? And I get to take out the trash, Lord. Forget this. I'm not doing any of this. That kind of envying each other, comparing yourself and your assignment to other people. That's a strategy of the enemy. You need to wake up. The devil's a liar. If you really want to serve God in big ways, you got to be faithful right there in the small ways. You got to be faithful right where you are. Brothers and sisters, be faithful with the small things. And there's a healthy pattern that will show up in those who are being faithful. You should always be growing in the assignment God gives you. You know, it should be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If the assignment God's given you has been the same over the last few years, somewhat years, and you're getting complacent and you're getting good at it, but you're not getting past that, brother, sister, you need to check yourself, because it might be indicative of a lack of faithfulness. Your assignment, a healthy pattern should be, you should be growing. God should be entrusting you with more. Do you see this parable here? Right? The guy who got five and he earned five more. Right? The master didn't come to him and be like, man, keep doing that. Just repeat that. Keep. No, he didn't. Right? He entrusted him with more. That's the healthy pattern you should see. If you're not seeing that, you might be indicative of a lack of faithfulness in your life. And let me say one thing. Doing the minimum is not faithfulness. Doing the minimum is not faithfulness. Love, think about love. Love goes beyond the minimum. Have you ever seen a guy who's in love doing only the bare minimum for the girl he loves? Maybe some guys that are really, really cheap, right? Nah, when you're in love, you don't just do the minimum. You know, you get extravagant. And our faithfulness is not to ourselves, it's to God in relationship, love, relationship to Him. And thus, we need to act in love and not just do the minimum. That's not faithfulness, but do what is extravagant, do what is love. Don't just do the dishes, mop the floor, you know? Don't just take out the trash, you know, pick up all the strawberry ends. Strawberry, what are those? I don't even know what that's called. Strawberry in, strawberry what? Strawberry buds. That's good enough. Thank you. Thank you for your grace, brother. It's good enough. You know, brothers have a bad idea of love. They think as long as they do the big things, you know, the anniversary, the birthday, as long as they get that everything's okay. All right? They think, oh, yeah, you know, I love my wife. I love my girlfriend. I got the anniversary right. I got the birthday. As long as they do the big things, they're okay. But you know, it's the small things that makes the big things more meaningful. You know, if the man or the woman you love is doing all these small things for you, and then your birthday comes around, and they do this big thing for you, that big thing is that much more meaningful. Because if he doesn't do nothing for you, and all of a sudden, he shows up on your birthday, all huffing and puffing. I got you these flowers, honey. Mm-mm. You know he just remembered that afternoon because he looked on his Facebook and saw that it was your birthday. You know? It's not love. Doing the minimum is not love. Faithfulness is not doing the minimum. Henry Blackaby, in the college edition of Experiencing God, which is something I'm going through with my small group right now, he says this: Jesus' standard for rewarding his children with greater knowledge of God or more responsibility from God rests on the level of trustworthiness in which they handle small responsibilities God has already given. If you can be faithful in the little things, God will trust you with greater things. You want to know the secrets of God's kingdom? You want to see God's power manifest in your ministry? Then be faithful with what you have right now. Stop talking about all that big ministry. Let's see you be faithful with the small things right now. Are you going to flake out when the times get tough? Or are you going to stick it through? Because right now, maybe the costs might be a lot less. But when you're entrusted with a lot more and you flake out, the costs are a lot higher. So you better be proving yourself right now in the small things before you even ask God for a bigger assignment. And if right now in your life, all you see around you are small assignments. Small assignments. If that's all you see, don't get down about it. See it as a testing period for God's preparation to release you into bigger things. Brothers and sisters, be faithful with the small things. You know, when I was in New York City serving at Columbia University as a Campus Crusade staff, whenever the staff, we had to choose a student for a leadership position, the first things we looked for were not talent, intellect, or charisma, although those things are important. Instead, we looked for students who were fat. Fat. F-A-T. Faithful, available, and teachable. Because a fat student will go a long way. Much long. They do a lot more. They have the potential for a lot more. All right? Than a person who's just talented, but not faithful. You could be the most talented guitar player and singer on campus, but unless you were faithful, we look somewhere else. Because even if we chose you, it would be a waste of time for everybody, because you'd fail at being faithful. You can have all that talent and gifts. You will still fail at being faithful. What a big waste. I'd rather have someone who sings flat and is faithful than have somebody with perfect pitch and is just proud. If you weren't faithful, there wasn't much we could do about it. Your actions over the year has spoke for itself. And we would go ahead and choose on that criteria of fat. And you know, this faithfulness, you know, when I'm doing this message and I'm preparing this message, it applies to me as well. You know? It applies to me as well. And, you know, there are certain signs and prophetic words that I've received from God, and God's like, you know, God is going to use you mightily, Christian. He's going to use you in a mighty way, you know? And sometimes I get caught up with that. And I'm like, God, oh yeah, I'm ready. And I just live life on hold. Oh yeah, it's going to be any day now. The big things are going to come. I'm just going to be serving you in that big way. You know, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. You know, signs and powers and wonders. Oh yeah, I'm ready for that. I get caught up. I live life on hold. And the whole time I'm neglecting my office duties for the conference that's coming up. Or the Friday prayer meeting preaching. God, I can't be busy preaching to these, you know, 15, 20 people. I got to get ready for that 20,000. You better check yourself, Christian. You need to be faithful with the small things. What makes you think you'll be faithful? If you can't seem to set aside the consistent habits and time to prepare your message week in and week out for 15, 20 people, what makes you think you'll do it for 15,000, 20,000 people? What do you think is going to change? I'm building you right now. Be faithful with the small things. This applies to me as well. All right, and I'm just going to share with you right now the promises for the faithful. All right, it is good to be faithful to God. If you are being faithful to God, you're being faithful in the small areas, there are lots of promises for you. I'll start with one. God protects the faithful. It's in the scriptures. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. Psalm 98:10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones. Woo. Hallelujah. And delivers them from the hand of the wicked. If I ever am faced with trouble from people, from wicked men that try to get me or something, I don't spend too much time worrying about it. I just spend all my energy being faithful. Because you know why? I hold to this promise. If those wicked people try to set me up for something, they lie to me, they try to take my money, you know what? They got something else coming. Because they touch me, they messing with God. Because the Lord guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. When I do deliverance ministry, and people ask me, don't you ever get scared? Or all them, demonic manifestations and people under bondage. Don't you get scared that when you help all these people, some of them demons are going to latch on to you? I say, you know what? I don't worry about that. Because I got my promise right here. All I got to spend my energy doing is being faithful. And God will be faithful to protect me. God protects the faithful. And you could take that to the bank. Second promise for the faithful. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will be richly blessed. Richly blessed. You notice how the way he worked with that servant with the five talents? Gave him more. Just gave him more. Just trusted him with more. Right? A faithful man, it doesn't say will be blessed. It says will be richly blessed. If you're being faithful, you're being faithful with the small things. You're being faithful to God. Brothers and sisters, you will be richly blessed. And that includes giftings, spiritual gifts, your character, fruit of the Spirit, leadership. He'll just bless you richly. He'll bless you with money. He'll bless you with money. The devil will tell you lies of poverty. God will release you into wealth. All right, I'm not shy to say that, because I've seen that in my life. God richly blesses the faithful. Third promise. God is faithful to the faithful. Psalm 18:25. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the crooked you show yourself shrewd. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the crooked you show yourself shrewd. That means if you're being faithful to God, God is like, I am faithful. And he will show himself. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that God is faithful. There's people like that. They can say God is faithful. And then there's people that say, God is faithful. And then back it up with a testimony. Why? Because they're the faithful ones. The faithful ones, they see God's faithfulness day in and day out. they will have testimonies to tell of God's faithfulness. But if you're not being faithful, the only faithfulness God may show you is his discipline. You know? I will be faithful to give you this black backhand slap for your backsliding ways right now. Man, get your... All right? To rescue you from your sinful living. But if you are walking faithful before him, he will show himself faithful. But if you're crooked and you're wicked, you know what the Bible says? God will show himself shrewd. He'll be like, yeah, okay, you gonna live like that? Okay, all right. I'll play that game. And then he'll like put something in front of you. And you'll be like, yes, yes, what's up? God, I don't even need you. I got all these blessings. Oh, yeah, look at that blessing I'm going to get over there. I'm going to get that blessing. And then, bam, God just takes it away. He'll be like, what's up? Who is in charge? He's going to be shrewd. All right, he's going to be shrewd. To the wicked, to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. Those are the three promises for the faithful. God protects you. God richly blesses you. And God shows himself faithful to the faithful. What are some areas, just practically, where we can be faithful? Well, I was searching through scripture, and I just came up with three areas that the scriptures seem to point to. And there's many areas that we can be faithful, right? Like I talked about, right? Like, yeah, cleaning up and taking out garbage, right? All those areas. But three areas that the scripture points to that we can start with. Number one, Romans 12:12. It says, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. One area that you can prove yourself faithful is in prayer. We all need to hear that. Because how many people, if I was to judge your prayer life, how many of you guys would I say, man, that person's got a faithful prayer life? We need to up it up. We need to be faithful in prayer. And it's not like this legalistic, oh, I'm not being faithful in prayer. You just got to do what you can with the schedule you got, and you just got to be disciplined. But your heart needs to be faithful toward praying, toward intercession. That's one area you can be faithful in. Number two is in his word. We read it today, Deuteronomy 11:13. If you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today. The second area in which you can be faithful is simply in his word. Obeying God's commands faithfully. If he says, do not steal, don't steal. If he says, do not lie, then do not lie. Be faithful to obey the commands of God. Number three. Third area we can be faithful is in serving him. 1 Samuel 12:24. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. 1 Peter 4:10 says, you are to faithfully administer God's grace in its various forms. Okay. So that third area in which we can be faithful is just to serve him. Just serving him. He wants you to be faithful. Just serving God. You know, the thing about faithfulness is faithfulness must be proved. You know, you can't just be like one day, I'm faithful. I'm faithful, and that's it. You know, unproven faithfulness is really no faithfulness at all. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Prove faithful. Okay, faithfulness is not some like invisible, intangible thing, you know. Ooh, God, give me more faithfulness. God, give me more faithfulness. Ooh, I'm getting it. No. Faithfulness, like I said, it's like a muscle. It grows. It develops. You exercise it. You choose to be faithful. It grows. It develops. It's proven. It must be proven. God gives you money, folks. God gives you gifts. God gives you education. God's given you all these opportunities. When he gives you a trust, not only are you to just enjoy it, it's not for you just to enjoy it, but it is required, the Bible says, that you prove faithful. And let me just say something about what we need to aim for when we think of faithfulness. It's like this. If you say no to sexual sin 20 times, but then you give in to it on the 21st time, that's not faithfulness. If you are honest with your taxes, but then you fudge just a few numbers at the end, that's not faithfulness. If you're acting loving and gentle and kind on Sundays, but the rest of the week, you just, whatever, that's not faithfulness. I've been good with purity for most of the month. God will forgive me if I just mess around right now. Yeah, come on, God will understand. That's not faithfulness, folks. And I say that because many Christians today, they aim for what is called good enough faithfulness. Ah, that's good enough. I got God's grace, that's good enough. Good enough faithfulness. Let me ask you this. If your spouse is faithful to you, 700 days after your wedding, she's just been faithful. He or she has been faithful to you. But then on the 701st day, she cheats on you. Would you consider that faithfulness? If she told you that that's the kind of good enough faithfulness that she had in mind when she made her vows, how would that make you feel? Well, it doesn't make God feel any better. Faithfulness is only faithfulness when you are faithful at all times. And that's what we must aim for. I'm not talking about be perfect. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about what is your aim? What are you pursuing? You need to be aiming to be faithful always. Because that's what true faithfulness is. If you're only being faithful when you feel like it or when your church friends are around, brothers and sisters, that is not faithfulness. We got to be faithful at all times. You ever notice in churches how there's only a few people serving? Like a lot of churches today, there's only a few people serving, and then there's just like a whole lot of people just doing nothing. You know, on Sunday you see some running around, you know, cleaning up after people, you know, and everybody else is just doing nothing. Ah, that's crazy. Why this man just bumped me, man? Sung, you know, he's just cleaning up. You see that? There's all these people that don't contribute nothing. Why is that? Well, the reason why they are doing nothing is not because there's nothing for them to do, but it's because they're not faithful in the small things. They're waiting for some big, important assignment from God to fall into their lap, but they're not willing to lift a finger for the small things. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be servant to all." If you understand that principle, you will understand true greatness. Greatness in the kingdom of God always starts with faithfulness in the small things. And when you're not faithful with one talent, I'll tell you what God does. You know what God does? I'll tell you what God does. He doesn't keep coming at you and being like, oh, it must have been a bad day. Okay, well, here's another talent. You want to try again? Oh, here's another talent. Want to try again? Nope, God doesn't do that. You know how he'll be like, give me that talent. and he'll take that talent away from you. He don't got time to waste. God is not your waiter. He's not going to wait for you to be faith, start being faithful. God is your master. And the master will take that one talent from the unfaithful servant and he'll give it to the one who has 10. That seems so mean. God won't do that. Okay, well, look at verse 29. I'm not making this up. Look at verse 29. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Give me that talent. Tired of waiting on you. What's so hard about doing the dishes? What's so hard about starting from the bottom? What's so hard? Why can't you be a servant? Why you gotta be so prideful? Give me that talent. And he'll give it to the one who has 10. That's why I think there's a whole bunch of people in the church that just don't do anything. And there's just a few that are just faithful. And I don't think that's the way God wants it. I think God, you know, in a good community, we should see many people, you know, being faithful and serving together. That's what a body of Christ ought to look like. Be faithful with the small things, brothers and sisters. And to end, I'll say that faithfulness is not convenient. It will hurt to be faithful sometimes. You will have to forfeit hanging out with your friends and stay in to finish your prayer team assignment. Prayer team? You'll have to sacrifice something you always wanted to buy in order to be faithful to support the missionary that you've been supporting. Oh, I hit a hard time. Oh, I just lost my job. Oh, first thing that goes, oh, missionary, boop. Sorry, I can't support you no more. Sometimes faithfulness is going to hurt. But this is what we're called to do. And I will not lie. As you grow more and more in the Lord, and God entrusts you with bigger and bigger assignments, being faithful will be more and more costly. It will be more and more costly. The sacrifices God will require will be bigger. And sometimes you'll feel lonely because you feel like you're the only one making these sacrifices. But don't give up. Be faithful. God sees you and he will reward you. He will bless you. He will entrust you with more. Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, be faithful even to the point of death. And I will give you the crown of life. Christ can call us to that kind of faithfulness because he was faithful to the point of death, even death on a cross. And when I look at my life, areas, small things that I need to be more faithful in. But as I look at my life, I can say that I've been faithful. The years that I've been living, like my heart's been pure before God. And God's been showing himself faithful to me as I've been faithful to him. And do you know what keeps me going personally to be faithful? It's a little secret that I heard from John Piper. All right? And it's just theological soundness will build the pillars for you to act in the time of crises. He said this, the only hope that you can be faithful is because God is faithful. If your faithfulness is not rooted in the faithfulness of God, it is doomed to failure. I think that's the way he said it. John Piper, I love that man. If your faithfulness is rooted in God's faithfulness, you'll do all right. You'll be fine. And just closing with the passage I started with, Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Brothers and sisters, God is calling you to be faithful with the small things. Let us be faithful, and let us aim to be faithful always. Let's pray.